Warning: the following content may be disturbing to some individuals. Consumer discretion is advised.
Sirens of the Supernatural. Hello and welcome to Sirens of the Supernatural, listeners. We're back again tonight with a very special guest, as well as my co-hosts Ryan and Lindsay. Tonight we're going to be discussing angels. Are you guys ready? I think this is a fascinating topic for a lot of people, especially around the holidays. We thought it might be nice to kind of take a break from our spookiness and do something that is still supernatural, but somewhat familiar to everyone, because, you know, angels are really popular this time of year. I don't know how many you guys have seen in stores and Christmas decorations and movies, but I see them everywhere. So before we get started, I want to ask everyone, how are they doing? How's your week going so far? Ryan?
Oh, it's doing great. Just getting ready for holidays. A couple birthdays coming up for family. Mm-hmm. Just enjoying it so far. Weather's not been too awful bad yet, so we still get a few more great days left to get a few things done.
Yeah, I need to get some things done. Holiday shopping and all of that. It seems like time has flown by, and all of a sudden it's the 11th of December, and I'm not ready. Are you ready, Linz?
I'm ready.
Lindsay's ready. All right. Are the students ready?
Yeah.
They're ready to be up for break.
We're all ready. I think we're all together and I'm on a break. So
awesome. And Travis Short is joining us again tonight. Listeners, you may remember him from our Mothman series, where we interviewed him and he shared some great info with us on that. And tonight he's going to be sharing with us about angels. How's your week going, Travis?
Oh, my week has sucked. It's just horrible. No, everybody was so positive. I just thought I would come in and throw a slightly different perspective. It's Monday. It's the end of the semester for me. One more semester of grad school. If I don't screw it up, you know, get my master's in May. So it's been nice to start actually breathing and kind of being normal again. So I've been able to focus on some work and some client projects and get ready for tonight's show. So it's
awesome. Well, congratulations on being so near to the finish line with your master's.
Right there.
That's a lot of hard work, for sure. For sure. Well, we're going to jump into it. And I wanted to, first of all, talk a little bit about what we know about angels as far as religion, mythology. Almost every culture has a being that is what we know as an angel, from the written accounts, the paintings, the movies, the documentaries. You'd be hard pressed to meet anyone who hasn't heard of angels. And that's why we've invited Travis to come back and discuss this topic with us. He is very knowledgeable on the subject of angels. And so, Travis, we want to welcome you back and thank you for coming on to share your insight with us. Will you give us a brief summary of your background again, especially for the listeners maybe who missed the Mothman episode that I mentioned?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from Southwest Virginia, so we share that commonality. I trained early in my life to be a minister, served for almost 5 years as an ordained pastor in the Southern Baptist denomination. I was raised Baptist, have a keen interest in religion, just discovered that I suck as a role model, so it wasn't really a good thing for me to be a pastor and a minister, but I do enjoy discussing, debating, and having a dialogue about theology, religion, and pursued a master's degree in theology from Master's International School of Divinity. Didn't complete that one, but my background is in outside of religion. Of course, the supernatural, the paranormal with the Mothman documentary and things like that. But primarily, my background is in marketing and public relations. I started out in broadcasting years ago, at WDIC, the radio station in Dickinson County, where I grew up, and then worked my way from radio into television and then advertising agency, PR work, director of marketing for a hospital, freelance consulting for self-published authors. And then I started managing radio properties in 2015. I managed two in Prestonsburg, Kentucky, and then I managed three in London, Kentucky. And now I find myself at almost 50 back in graduate school, back in college, where that I am older than all of my professors and my vaccination records are older than anyone else in my cohort.
Well, kudos, hats off to you for pursuing that. And I personally know it's a lot more difficult the older you get. So
very true. Very
yes.
True.
So Travis, you have studied and have some extensive knowledge of the subject of angels. And in one or two brief sentences, can you tell us your definition of an angel?
My definition of the angel is really the literal definition of the word, which is messenger. We see them in various cultures, various religions, and they are always emissaries. They bring messages from another realm, from the divine, to humankind. And again, the word angel is derived from the word angelos, which means messenger. So that is my ultimate very basic definition of what an angel is.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to turn it over to Lindsay. I think she has some questions for you. We kind of did some homework and got some questions together that we all wanted to ask.
Yeah, so I guess my first question would be, are there mentions of angels or similar angelic beings outside of Christianity?
Yes, of course, Christianity having its basic foundation in Judaism, we find angels in Judaism and the Jewish faith. We find angels in Christianity, and we also find angels in Islam. As a matter of fact, they're very prominent, even more so in the Islamic faith than they actually are in the Christian faith. And then you find other types of angelic beings, and I'm always, it's kind of like Mothman. I always find myself wrestling with whether or not to use the word angel, because it evokes a particular image in our minds, what we think an angel looks like. But when you talk about these messengers from the divine, these messengers from another realm that are bringing decrees and messages, sometimes warnings, sometimes punishment, but we find them in various cultures across the world.
When I was doing some research, I kind of came across that for Islam and Judaism too. Mm-hmm. And I kind of, I almost wondered if, and I know we'll get there, but I almost wondered if like old, like ancient gods from like Greek history and ancient Egypt, if those could almost be either considered angels or, I mean, I guess deities, but where they kind of look so otherworldly and kind of mm-hmm. out there, it made me think of other angelic descriptions, I guess.
Yeah, I think, and when we, as we delve into this a little bit further, you'll find that there are some distinct similarities between fallen angels and the Nephilim and what the Greeks and Romans referred to as the Titans. So there's this really interesting kind of juxtaposition and this overlapping of these cultural views and these religious views, and they all start kind of making sense when we start taking away certain words. Again, like when I say the word angel, you automatically have a particular image that pops in your head. But if we start talking about a messenger from another realm, or as you mentioned, a deity in other cultures, then we start getting this more broad analysis of what we're actually talking about here. And part of what hinders us as human beings is our framing of a particular subject. And so, like in talking about Mothman, we say Mothman and people automatically think bug-like, insect-like, moth wings. Nothing like that was the case with the sightings in 1966 and 1967. When I say angel, it generates this image of, little fat naked babies with wings, the cherubim that people see at Christmas time. And that's as far away from the actual description of a cherubim as you could possibly get. So we have to be very careful, because we start projecting our beliefs and our understandings onto a concept and a construct because of our understanding of that word. So I think you're absolutely right. When you start looking at the ancient Egyptian gods, you look at the gods of Greek and Rome, and even in Mesoamerica, you start looking at those deities. If you don't use the word angel, you're going to see a lot of similarities.
Mm-hmm. So then I guess my next question would be I guess there's that generic description of an angel with like wings. They mainly look like a human with wings, but what is the most outlandish, like crazy description of an angel / messenger that you've come across?
When you start looking at the actual choirs of the angels and the way that they're described in especially Judaism, which is where we get those images and those names, those nine choirs, there's some really freaky descriptions. You know, you've got one group of angels that are described as wheels. They are circular. They're full of eyes. They fly through the heavens. I make an argument that could also be what people are seeing when they say they're seeing UFOs, round circular things with a bunch of lights around them. That's what Ezekiel saw, the wheel within a wheel. You have the seraphim, which are the flaming, fiery, winged serpent section of angels. You've got the cherubim, as I mentioned, and that's when people think cherubs, they also always think of those Renaissance paintings of little fat naked babies with wings. That's what they think of. And that's not what a cherub is. If you look at the description of a cherub in the Old Testament, it is an absolute, yeah, there they are, naked little babies with wings. There they are. And that's not what a cherub is. You know, a cherub is described in the Old Testament scriptures as having four faces: the face of a man, the face of a lion, the face of a bear, the face of a bull. They have six wings. They have two on their back. They have two on their legs, and they have two that cover their faces, and they fly back and forth through the heavens. To me, that's a frightening image. That is nothing like these, and again, angelic beings that we see in paintings or that we are, or that we're taught about. As you said, you know, when this time of year, you think about, you know, the angel coming to Mary and proclaiming that she is the chosen, highest of God's choices among women, so that she can bear the Messiah. And, you know, we always see them dressed in long, white, flowing garb and long blonde hair. And, you know, they look Nordic is what they look like. They look like Nordic gods, and they're glowing and they're beautiful. But they're actually in all actuality, they're actually frightening descriptions of them throughout the scriptures.
So do you think that angels, I mean, I know there's a lot of different theories and religious or non-religious. Do you think that these things that we call angels could be theoretically something completely different, like an interdimensional being or like Mothman, how he's just.
Yes, absolutely.
Unique unto himself.
Yes. I mean, I think, again, you know, we are. All of these stories come down through countless generations. They come down through countless cultures. And there's an understanding that it's almost hardwired into our DNA, that there is something outside of this universe. There is something outside of this cosmos, outside of this world. And there are times when that other side, that other realm comes into ours. And so I do believe that what we call angels, what some people call fairies, what some people call Mothman, what some people have called extraterrestrials and aliens, I think they're all interchangeable, because they are, by definition, extraterrestrial. They do not come from this planet. They come from outside of this world. Therefore, they are both extraterrestrial. They are not natural. So therefore, they are supernatural. They are not normal. Therefore, they are paranormal. So I think all of those things have to be taken into consideration if we're going to actually examine this particular topic, not solely as a religious topic, and definitely not as a Christian topic, but if we open our eyes and we're actually willing to sit down and have an honest conversation and ask the hard questions, Lindsay, like you're asking, And then I know I'm going to get hit with some other hardball questions too. So if we're able to sit down and have those conversations as adults, I think we begin to have a better understanding of some of this phenomena that's taking place around us.
Well, I'm going to pass it on over to Ryan on that.
That's some great info, though. Great questions too, Lindsay.
Yeah, Travis, that was good stuff. Have a couple of questions of my own. Like I said, I love what you've said so far. Do you believe that humans can actually see or interact with angels?
Yes, I do. I think if I'm answering that from a faith-based perspective and having grown up in the church and from a Christian worldview, I think that there are angels around us all the time. I think there are, you know, it's like the Alabama country group song, Angels Among Us. I mean, we interact with angels all the time. Even the book of Hebrews in the New Testament tells us that, you know, sometimes we have entertained angels unaware. We don't know that we're interacting with them all the time. So from a faith-based standpoint, yes, I do believe that there are angels everywhere. From a more grounded scientific, and I use that term loosely because I'm by no means a scientist in any form or fashion, but approaching it more objectively, I think that these interdimensional beings, like Lindsay had I think very accurately dubbed them, I think that there are moments in time when we vibrate on frequencies and levels. And I think sometimes we are more in tune with that spiritual realm, whatever you want to call it. And I think there are times when we can see and we can experience things very differently than we do in a 24/7, 365 regular run-of-the-mill life. So there are moments when those spiritual aspects of us, and whether you're Christian, you're Jewish, you're whatever faith you are, even atheist or agnostic, you have to believe that there is a part of us that is very much in tune with, whether you want to call it nature, you want to call it the spirit realm, whatever, there's a part of us that exists in another level. We all have that feeling of deja vu, like we've lived something before. We have those premonitions when we know something's going to go wrong, and sometimes we know exactly what's going to go wrong. And that, you know, what is that, and how is that happening, and how does that impacting us and our relationship with the world that we're living in right now? But yes, to answer your question, point blank, I do believe that people interact with angels on a regular basis. They just don't always know it.
Okay, hey, that's a good answer. You know, I guess it's called that, you know, psychability, you know, your sixth sense, ESP, something like that. Yeah, that's good stuff. But, you know, outside the Bible, because the Bible talks about people interacting with angels, you know, you mentioned on it with Mary and a few other things. Have you heard of anybody like recently in the past that have actually interacted and had engaged with angels?
There's a story from whenever I was a teenager, a gentleman in my hometown, and he had picked up a hitchhiker. I heard him tell this story. He picked up a hitchhiker. The guy was, you know, filthy, dirty, and he took him to one of the convenience store gas stations there in Clintwood, and got him out and bought him some food and some drinks, and handed the items to him, and then went to pay for them, and he turned around and the guy was gone. Couldn't find him, walked out the door, couldn't see him. He wasn't walking up and down the street. He wasn't in the parking lot. He wasn't anywhere. And he believed with all of his heart that he had interacted with an angel. For the past 13 years, I have been representing as a publicist, Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior. He's an exorcist, demonologist, deliverance minister. And Bill tells stories all the time about his interactions with angels, angelic beings, warrior angels, especially those angels that are engaged in spiritual warfare with demonic entities. And as far as having personal experience, those are the two that I have very, you know, intimate knowledge of, or that they've told me those stories. Now, can I substantiate either of those stories? No, I cannot. But these are two individuals that believe with all of their hearts, and still do, that they have interacted with angelic beings, messengers from God.
Okay, yeah, like I said, good stuff. There's even a song, you know, I think the name of the song, What Is God, What If God Was One of Us?
Well, yes, exactly.
Kind of like the example you just said, we never know when we're being tested or maybe, you know, what's in front of us. We don't.
And that's why I actually like the definition of the word angel, which is messenger, because it actually gives us the opportunity to be angels ourselves. We can be messengers. We can do good. We can impact individuals for the positive or the negative. And I think we have to make that active choice to be a positive messenger and help people and deliver positive messages and help them through life. You know, I am no longer a pastor. I'm no longer a minister, but I can't tell you how many times I end up in situations, professional situations, personal situations, where I end up counseling somebody, helping them through something because I've been through it. I've experienced it. I have learned, lived experience in that situation. And at that point, it's incumbent upon me to take what I have learned and tell them. I'm not trying to live their life. I'm not telling them what to do, but I can tell them what has happened to me, the mistakes that I've made, the choices I've made, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it gets laid out there. So I think you're right. You know, what if God were one of us? Well, God kind of is one of us.
Yeah, and like you said, the gentleman he talked to that could have very well been an angel. And he's just testing him to see if he's going to do the right thing.
Exactly.
Another quick question before I turn it back over to Rhonda. Have you heard of any angel interactions here on Earth that's been proven true, or maybe they haven't been able to prove it false? Have you heard or come across anything like that?
I can't say that I have. Answering both questions the same way, I can't say that I have heard of anything that has been substantiated as angelic, but I also haven't heard of any stories where that they have been proven false. Like I said, the interesting thing about angels, messengers, is they are like any other supernatural paranormal event. They are very real to the person that's experiencing it. I have been in haunted locations and I've been with people and we've all experienced the exact same thing. We've heard the same thing. We've seen the same thing. We felt the same thing. And it was very real to us. We've taken people back. And this happened in Point Pleasant. We took a bunch of people back with us because we told them about all this weird stuff that had happened to us and we wanted them to experience it. Nothing happened. They didn't hear anything. They didn't see anything. They didn't experience anything. But for us, it was very real. We had experienced it. People who see UFOs interact with extraterrestrials, the people who saw Mothman, the people who see Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, it's very real to them. Does that mean it's not real? Just because other people haven't experienced it, just because other people haven't seen it, dealt with it, felt it, heard it, does that mean it's not real? What is reality? That gets into a whole different type of philosophical and theological conversation.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you. And that kind of goes back to what you said about being on different wavelengths, different planes. Exactly. Some people are more susceptible, I guess, in easier terms.
Well, and I hate to keep bringing Mothman into angels, but it's actually kind of funny because Mothman was a winged entity that people were seeing. And he was actually described as angel-like, that he had angel-like wings, which I always found fascinating in the original eyewitness accounts, that they would choose that as their description. But John Keel said that he felt that these entities are ultra terrestrial, as Lindsay said, interdimensional. They don't exist on this plane and in this world, but they can be seen sometimes on this world and in this plane. And I think sometimes that's what's happening. Sometimes certain people are much more in tune with certain things and they see things, they feel things. You know, whether you want to call them psychics or you want to call them mediums or you want to call them spiritualists, they're just more in tune with that part of nature, that part that exists that is nature, but it's also supernatural.
That's a good point. And, you know, I think a lot of us are more susceptible at some different points in our lives to, you know, there are people that are more susceptible, but I think us as individuals, we're all more susceptible at different points in our lives. I know that I knew a lady whose husband was very ill and you know, they knew that he was probably not long for the earth. Mm-hmm. And one night she was asleep and she said she just, something woke her up. It wasn't a noise or anything like that. But she said, as soon as she opened her eyes, she saw bright light to her left and she turned her head and looked and she saw an angel for like a split second and then it was gone. And the next day, her husband passed away, and she said she thought that was, she interpreted that vision of the angel as maybe giving her, you know, some warning or preparation about her husband's death. So, and like you said, Travis, it was very real to her. I don't think anyone could have convinced her that she didn't see what she saw. Taking a little bit of a different turn now, I want to talk about...
Can I make one statement real quick?
Sure,
here before?
Sure.
And I don't want you to lose your train of thought, but I want to come back and I want to... Because you just reminded me of something when you were telling that story. And so, Ryan, I'm going to go back and answer your last... Not your last question, but your next to last question a little differently because I had forgotten about something. In my time, when I was a pastor and I was a minister, I was also a chaplain. So I was a chaplain for hospice. And I was a chaplain for the local sheriff's department. And when I was a chaplain for hospice, there were a couple of occasions when I was with someone as they drew. Well, I was always with them when they drew their last breath. But there were a couple of occasions when those individuals, as they were drawing their last breath, they would talk about what they were seeing. And they often saw what they were calling angels. So I apologize. It's one of those things. It wasn't until Rhonda started talking. I'm like, yeah, because there's those moments when there are certain points in our life where we reach a certain point that we are much more susceptible and much more open to seeing things. And death seems to be one of those. And I did have a couple of patients when I was the chaplain for the hospice program that did see those types of things as they were nearing death. Mm,
that's interesting. Yeah. And I imagine anyone who works in hospice could tell numerous similar stories like that. So thank you for sharing that. According to the Bible, as we're talking about it, it speaks of different ranks of angels, like a hierarchy, but only three angels are mentioned in the scripture, and that's Michael, Gabriel, and the fallen angel, Lucifer. Mm-hmm. But the book of Enoch goes into a lot more detail and mentions the names of seven angels.
Yes.
And some are considered archangels. And so you mentioned before the choirs of angels. Mm-hmm. At separation. And so what I had found in my research was, and I never thought about that. You know, you hear about choirs of angels, but I would always think like choirs of angels are
singing choirs, angels, right?
Singing messengers, right? But within these ranks, these groups, I found that the nine categories or choirs of angels were first the seraphim, the cherubim, and the throne angels. Mm-hmm. And then under that, the dominions, virtues, and powers. And then under that, the principalities, the archangels, and the other angels. So I always thought an archangel was like the tip-top, right, you know, ranking angel. But I found that that wasn't necessarily the case. Can you talk a little bit about the different ranks of angels and their different jobs, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, you mentioned principalities, you mentioned dominions, and you mentioned powers. And those terms are actually used in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. The Apostle Paul talks about it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness in high places. And so, therefore, we actually do have reference to those choirs, just mm-hmm. not broken down the way that you just broke them down. So they are there. And you were mentioning, you know, we do think of the archangel, you know, the archangel Michael. He's the one that cast Lucifer out of heaven. But really, the archangel are really kind of foot soldiers. If you're thinking about it in a military kind of way, they're soldiers. That's what they do. They're there to fight and to protect and things like that. The highest level of the angels, as you mentioned, was the seraphim. And that is actually the class that Lucifer was part of, and he was the angel that supposedly overshadowed the throne of God. He was the one that was over the seat where Yahweh actually sat, which is what produced in him, according to Christian theology, the desire to actually have the throne. He was protecting it. He was hovering over it. He wanted it. He had that pride. The cherubim are really kind of the messenger angels. So when we hear about, you know, Gabriel and some of the messenger angels that are coming, we're really talking about the cherubim who are coming to give these messages to individuals. So it's the wheels, they're actually, I'm trying to remember, hang on just one second, I've got a document with them. They are the Ophanim, which are the wheels, and they are God's chariot. They are, you know, how God moves among the heavens, how God, because again, you know, when we start looking at the choirs of angels, we also have to look at this concept that there's not just a heaven. There are, you know, at one point there were 10 levels of heaven. Then we, you know, that's where we get the term, you know, you're living in seventh heaven. There's this higher level of heavens, which is where the highest level is where God himself lives and reigns. And then he traverses the other six levels of heaven. And he uses those wheels as a way to travel between those different levels of heaven, which are above the earth. And then eventually at some point we got to the point where that there are three heavens. There's the sky that we see, there's outer space, and then there is the heaven where God and all of the angelic beings dwell. Now, if you look at Islam still teaches, as does Judaism, about seven layers of a heavenly realm. So each of these choirs exist in one of those realms. And they each have a certain dominion. They have certain power in certain places. That's why it's very important when we start looking at the names. And as you mentioned, you know, the Book of Enoch talks about these, you know, he names seven angels. And if you look at the name of each of those angels, and I don't have them in front of me, but they all end in E-L. They all end in L. They all are an emanation. They're all an extension of God himself. They are an extension of Yahweh or of Elohim. And actually Elohim is technically one of the Jewish classes of angels, the sons of God. They're down near the archangels. They're one of the more basic levels of angels. So they each have, you know, when you talk about principalities, you know, according to theologians, principalities are angels that are assigned to certain geographic locations. They are assigned to a particular domain that they are in charge of. So, you know, every town, every state, every country, every continent would have its own principality, and each of those principalities would vary based on the geographic location. But that's where that term comes from. So the way that it works out is, like I said, it's very militaristic, quite frankly. They're, you know, it's like having a sergeant, a corporal. You can tell I've never served in the military because I don't know what all of the ranks are. But you get what I'm saying.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. It's really interesting as you're comparing the Book of Enoch, the Bible, what Islam believes. Now, in outside of Christian theology, do the angelic beings or entities have rank like we find in the Bible? Are there mentions of that in other cultures?
They do. And actually in Islam, you find that angels play a much more prominent role in Islam, in the Islamic faith, than they even do in Judaism and Christianity. It was the angel Jibril, who is the Islamic version of Gabriel, that brought the Quran to Muhammad. And it was he as the messenger who delivered the message that became the Quran. And angels there become very, very prominent in the Islamic faith. And you have the, you know, it's not just angels, but then you get this whole idea of the jinn, the genies, which are also the spirit beings that have been created by Allah in the Islamic faith that are wreaking havoc with humankind. They're not demons. They're not angels. They're a totally different type of spiritual being that is integral to the Islamic faith. But it's they're kind of we wouldn't call them angels. We don't call them demons. Actually, we would call them demons. Christianity would call them demons, but Islam doesn't view them that way. They view angels, they view the demonic forces, and then they view the jinn. And the jinn can be good, they can be bad, or they can be totally neutral. And so it's a very interesting type of theology when you start looking at the way the Islamic faith looks at these messengers, these angelic beings.
That's very interesting. It makes me want to dive a little deeper there. And you mentioned the seven angels in the book of Enoch. I've got the names right here, and then I'm going to turn it over to Lindsay because she's going to piggyback off of this. The names are Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, Uriel, Sariel, Raguel, and Remiel. So we know Gabriel and Michael are mentioned in our, you know, in the Christian Bible too. So Lindsay's going to take it in a little bit of a different direction with her question.
Yeah, so just going off of the book of Enoch and all of the interesting things that it says, it does mention a group called the Watchers. And I was just going to ask, who were they and why were they given that name?
Oh, that's probably a show in and of itself, but I'll try to give you the abbreviated annotated version of that. So upon creation, and again, this is not in the Christian Bible. This is more from a Jewish perspective. The Jewish oral tradition and some of the Kabbalah writings and some of the historical writings that didn't make it into the Septuagint or the first five books of the Bible. But in Jewish tradition, upon creation, God established watchers to watch humanity, to watch over his creation. Therefore, those angels were called the watchers. Some of those watchers remained pure and some did not. And there's a group of those watchers that were watching mankind, and they began to lust after female women, and they began to have sex with them, and they began to produce an offspring called the Nephilim, which were the giants of old in the Old Testament, possibly the Titans of Greek and Roman mythology. But those watchers that fell from grace, they fell from that puritanical kind of role that they had to just watch mankind and not be involved with mankind. Those that became involved with women and produced this offspring of inbred individuals, the Nephilim, which actually the term Nephilim is part, the root word comes from a Jewish word, which means abortion. It means something born out of time or something that isn't born at all. And so those watchers that did that, those are the fallen angels. Those are the angels that have been cast to hell along with Lucifer. But they're not the ones that were part of the rebellion in heaven. They were cast out for a totally different reason. And in the book of, I think it's the book of James, it might be the book of Jude, I can't remember right now. Been a long time since I've done the whole pastor thing. But there's a passage that says that these angels are held in chains of everlasting darkness underneath the earth. And that's exactly what happened to the Titans in Greek and Roman mythology. They were a race of supernatural beings that were brought into servitude, and they were chained underneath the earth in what is called Tartarus, which is not hell, but it is an abyss, this deep pit where that they are chained to this day. So that is not an abbreviated answer to your question, Lindsay. I'm sorry that it got very long.
That's okay.
That's okay. It's really interesting. It really is. So is Hades the same kind of thing too?
Interesting, because Hades is both a place and a person. Mm-hmm. In Greek and Roman mythology, it is a place, but it is also the ruler of that place. Hades rules the realm of the dead. So when you get into, especially, you know, Christianity, we have heaven, we have hell. Judaism, they have Sheol, which is a place of the dead. It's neither heaven nor hell. It's just where the dead go. It's kind of like Valhalla for the Vikings. It's just a, mm-hmm. it's just an afterlife. And then you have this, and that's where, in the New Testament, there's a story that Jesus tells about the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man ends up in hell, and Lazarus ends up in a place called Abraham's bosom. It's not heaven. It's this other type of paradise. And that was one of the things that's always been pointed out theologically. When Christ was dying on the cross, he told the thief, he didn't say you'll be with me in heaven. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And there's this, this distinction there. And it actually, it lends credence to the Catholic view of purgatory, that there was at one time a place where when people died, they went, and it was an in-between realm. And then over time, they were sent either to paradise or they were sent to heaven. That's why in the New Testament, when Christ died and was buried on the third day, he rose again. Well, he wasn't the only person who came back from the dead. If you read the gospel accounts, mm-hmm. there were other people that had been dead that were seen walking. He brought those individuals back with him from Abraham's bosom, from paradise. And then they ascended with him when he went to heaven and he took them there. Again, this is Christian theology. I'm not saying it's right, it's wrong, or that I believe everything that I'm telling you. I'm just kind of breaking down the basics. So,
have you done any extensive study about the Sumerians and their gods and angelic? Because some of their gods, as I was looking,
You mean the Anunnaki?
Yeah, yeah. And they looked like the pictures that I've seen actually really resembled kind of what we think of as an angel, warrior angel more so.
They were giants. They were taller than normal men. They had wings. They were fierce looking. They had a different color skin. And so, yeah, I mean, the Sumerians, the Babylonians, the Egyptians had the Sphinx, which was a winged creature, mm-hmm. You know, with the body of a lion and the head of a man. You know, it kind of sounds like a cherubim, doesn't it?
Right.
I mean, it's this. So again, it kind of goes back to, you know, one of Lindsay's early questions, you know, do these things exist? Yeah, they do. In other cultures and other worlds and or not other worlds, but other cultures and other religions across the world, they've described them a little differently, but the similarities are all there.
Yeah. Right. That's so interesting to me. And I'm going to turn it over to Ryan now, because I think he had a few more questions that he wanted to ask you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this. This is great stuff. I appreciate you being here, Travis. I'm learning a little. Learn more.
This is the highlight of my Monday right now. This is the most fun I've had all day.
You touched on some things I never really thought of before, you know, different perspective, things like that. And it kind of makes me want to piggyback and go into a different type of question, like the host of the unnamed angels, like you mentioned in the Bible, some mm-hmm. messengers, others only to minister and worship God, others warriors, like you mentioned, fighting against enemies of gods, both were here on earth and in the spiritual dimension. Mm-hmm. So are there such a thing as like guardian angels, and do they get assigned to like guard actual people?
I feel sorry for mine. I put mine through the ringer. No, I do believe that there is a train of thought that the moment that an individual is born, they are assigned an angel to watch over them, and that angel follows them through life. And I personally can say this, I've never seen my guardian angel, and I would not even claim that, but I can tell you from my own experience that I have lived through things I should not have lived through. I have had car accidents. I have had my face kicked in. I have had, the list of things that have happened to me, especially in the past 16, 17 years, there are things that I should not have lived through. I've got a friend, as a matter of fact, who's an atheist, but she told me one day, she's like, if I were going to believe in God, she goes, you would be what made me believe in God, because there is no reason that you should be alive. You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. But I do believe that, you know, if we're talking about, again, Ryan, if you're talking about my faith-based answer to that question, my faith-based answer is yes. I do believe that we all have a guardian angel that is assigned to us. And I do believe that they do take care of us. They do watch after us. If you're asking me from the supernatural, the paranormal standpoint, yeah, I think there's something out there that is taking care of us. And, you know, now that also opens up this whole can of worms. Well, what happens if somebody gets killed? Was their guardian angel not looking after them? Was their guardian angel not on duty at that point in time? You know, so my personal faith-based answer is I do believe that we all have one. Some of us might have more than one. Maybe I have more than one. I don't know. Maybe there's more than one watching out for me. It's possible.
I totally agree with you. I mean, you know, I feel sorry for my guardian angel as well.
I do.
Sometimes you get frustrated because, like I said, you're stuck in traffic or you get stuck in a traffic jam, you're running late, and then you drive by an accident that would have been right where you'd been at or something like that. And you're like,
yes. And I'll give you an example. I was on campus at East Tennessee State University several weeks ago, and my plan was to leave at 3 o'clock and to get on I-26 headed back to Virginia. It was my last day of class. I was going to have a long weekend. I didn't get to leave until like 3:30, 3:45. I got held up having a conversation in the department where I'm doing my graduate assistantship. I got on I-26, I'm driving, and traffic is at a standstill. And it's not just, westbound, which is taking me back to Virginia, it's eastbound. Both directions of I-26, totally at a standstill. There had been a horrible accident that had blocked traffic on both sides of I-26. Now, had I left campus any earlier, that could have been me. And so I was, you know, in my mind, when I'm leaving campus 45 minutes late, I'm pissed because I had all these things I wanted to do. But when I get on the interstate and I realize I'm stuck in traffic because there was an accident, then I start thinking, yeah, but if you had left when you wanted to, you might not be alive. Mm-hmm. So did I not leave on time because, oh, somebody just wanted to have a conversation with me? Or did some type of supernatural intervention take place by my guardian angel that kept me from getting on the interstate at that particular time because I might have been involved in that accident?
That's good. You know, I'm glad you're here. You know, I'm glad
me too. Me too.
You know, I've been told many times, you know, something was definitely looking out for you, you know, mm-hmm. So I'm sure you feel the same thing.
I do. And, you know, but then again, you know, the rational part of me goes, well, what about those people that were on the interstate? You know, what didn't stop them from getting on the road at that point in time? And we could drive ourselves crazy asking that question all the time. I mean, because those are the what ifs. But that, to me, that was like, okay, something kept you from getting on the road when you wanted to. And it kind of reminds me of that. There was a country song years ago when I first started in radio back in the early 90s. God, that's a long time ago. I just realized it's like 32 years. But Garth Brooks had a song, Unanswered Prayers. I thank God for unanswered prayers. And I think sometimes that's kind of what we're talking about. You know, sometimes we don't always get what we want because what we want is not the best thing for us. And sometimes things happen that we don't even know about and we don't know why they happen, but they do because that's just the way that things are working out for us. And it kind of goes back to, again, there's a passage in the book of Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And actually, if you guys ever watched the TV show Manifest, that was what the entire show was based around. That all four seasons were based around that passage in Romans 8:28. That we don't always know what's happening around us, but we need to have faith that what is happening around us is happening for our good.
And that leads right into your next question, Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely. I was excited because this is like
that was not planned, but I'm glad it worked out that way.
Well, hey, perfect. I mean, this has been going smooth, and kind of to go back with what you say before I get into my question. Whether it be biblical or whatever, I believe there's a time and place for our demise, right? Just like mm-hmm. the Bible says, you know, there's a time for everything. So maybe it was that person's time and not yours.
Exactly.
I've been in situations when I worked in the prison system where it was just me. I had a radio, no nothing, and then you got 100 inmates out.
Yep.
I had a gentleman come up to me one time, an inmate, and he said, Officer McCoy, he goes, aren't you scared? I said, scared of what? He said, well, just you and there's 100 of us. He goes, are you afraid to go home? I said, well, that always crosses your mind. I said, but I believe there's a time and place. I said, if I die in my sleep or driving a car or what have you, I believe it's my time. So it's my time to go. It doesn't matter where I'm going to be or what I'm going to do. It's just sometimes exactly. we do stupid things to kind of speed rush it along.
Exactly.
You just kind of have the right mindset.
Guilty. I've done the stupid things to speed it along, so I'm guilty of that one. So
right. But that's kind of my mindset. You know, yes, I think there are guardian angels out there. And yes, mm-hmm. I drive mine crazy. But I also believe there's a time for when it says, okay, this is your date and time. You'll no longer be on this earth. And you'll be wherever, whatever, you know, the different levels you be, which, you know, that's interesting. But to kind of get back into that, that goes hand in hand with what we're talking about. Are there good angels really fighting against evil for us? That's on another plane or dimension that we can't see, like in the space around us that we can't see, that are, like the Bible verse says, we're fighting against principalities and forces. Is there stuff like that going on in the same area, in the same space, but just in a different dimension that we can't see or feel, other than some people that are blessed with that sensitivity?
It's funny because I wrestled with that, not myself, because I personally, I believe that that is the case. But I wrestled with that when I was a pastor, because I had people that would sit in church every Sunday, and they would believe in God and they would believe in angels, but they didn't want to believe in demons. They didn't want to believe in the devil. And they didn't want to believe that there was a spiritual war that was going on. And I wrestled back and forth with trying to get them to understand that if you believe in one, you're going to have to believe in the other. If you believe in God, you have to believe in the devil. If you believe in angels, you got to believe in demons. If you believe that we have guardian angels, you have to believe in demonic possession, because those are, they're diametrically opposed. So if you have one, you have to have the other. You can't pick and choose what you want to believe in. So again, on a faith-based answer, I say yes. From a faith-based answer, I can tell you that I, growing up and as a pastor and working with other pastors and missionaries and things like that, I've heard stories from individuals that were in the mission field, and they were the missionaries that told the story were they were in Africa, and there was a hostile tribe that didn't want them there. And they were coming to attack them, and they were approaching the house where the missionary family lived. And again, heard the story personally, didn't witness it, just heard it firsthand from the missionaries. The hostile tribe approached the house and the property, and they turned around and ran screaming from the property. And the father, the pastor, the missionary, swears that when he looked out the window, he saw the entire perimeter of the property lined with what he called angels that only he could see. The rest of the family couldn't see them, but they were surrounding the property, and it's what caused the hostile tribe to turn and run. Bill Bean, I mentioned Bill. Bill has talked time and time again about when he is performing an exorcism or deliverance that he has seen what he calls giant warrior angels, 10, 12 feet tall, appear when he's performing a deliverance or an exorcism. So I think that we, if we're going to believe, we're going to make that leap of faith, you might as well just commit and go all the way and say that, yes, I think this is taking place around us in the spirit realm, that this battle is raging and waging constantly between the forces of good and the forces of evil.
Good answer.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And talking about warrior angels and angels not being, we can't put them in a box as far as their appearance.
You can't put them in a box according to their gender either. We assume that they're men. We assume. We look at these names, Gabriel, Michael, mm-hmm. Azrael, Uriel. I mean,
yeah.
Does that mean that they're men? I don't know. It's our perspective. It's mm-hmm. the construct that we create. I've got a good friend of mine is dating a guy whose name is Michelle. It's not Michael. It's Michelle. I hear the name Michelle. I talk about, you know, my friend Kim and Michelle, and they're like, oh, Kim and Michelle. I'm like, no, it's Kim. I said, his name is Michelle. Her boyfriend, she has a boyfriend. His name is Michelle. Mm-hmm. So we get hung up on these little
right.
idiosyncrasies that we really shouldn't get hung up on.
Right.
There right. is a passage in the New Testament where Christ is talking. He says that when we die and we go to heaven, that we are going to be like the angels, neither given or taken in marriage. And that has led people to believe that angels are asexual, that they have no gender. Well, that may be the case.
And that ties in perfectly to one of my last questions that I wanted to ask. I know that a lot of people, all my life I've heard this, that if you lose a loved one, they go to heaven, they become an angel, and they are kind of watching out for you. But what's your view about when people pass from this earth and they end up in this other dimension, heaven, paradise, whatever it is? You just said that Christ said we become like the angels, but that doesn't mean we become one, right?
No, I think we have to, again, if we're looking at it from a Judeo-Christian theological standpoint, you have to understand angels are their own set of created beings. You can't die and become an angel.
Right.
Those are created beings with very distinct and specific purposes. I think when we die, again, my faith-based answer on that is we do go somewhere else. But I like to think that those loved ones that have gone on before do get to watch us and watch over us. And I will be the first to tell you, I talk to my grandparents who have been dead for years on a regular basis. I'll go to their grave and I'll talk to them. I talk to them just sometimes out of the blue. I'll start having a conversation. Now that may make me sound crazy. I don't care if it does. It brings me a little bit of comfort to be able to talk to them. You know, I'm fortunate I have both my parents still in this world. My siblings are still alive. All of my close family, but the ones that I was also close to that have gone on, you know, both sets of grandparents. I've got, my dad's an only child. My mom has a sister and two brothers that have already gone on. And I talk to them. And I like to think that what I want to think is that they get to see the successes and the positives in my life.
Right.
I hope they don't see my failures. I hope they don't see where I screwed up. I hope they don't see those times when I made bad choices. But that's what I like to think, is that they do get to watch over us. I remember, you know, I told the story about some of the hospice patients that have seen angels. There are tons of hospice patients that saw loved ones that came to them. As they were passing. And I remember my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, when she was dying, she had congestive heart failure. So she would end up in the hospital and the doctor would call everybody in, and then she would rally and she'd come back out of the hospital. So she did this staggered plateau kind of thing. She just kept going down, 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 down. And she never came back fully 100%. But the last time that she went into the hospital and they called everyone in, she was in bed and she was talking to my grandfather, who had been dead 20 years at that point. She was talking to my aunt and my uncle, who'd been dead, you know, 10 years at that point. And they were, for her, they were there. They were very real and they were very comforting to her. And they were there, I think, for a distinct reason. I think they were there to help her transition from a life that she knew and people that she knew to a life she did not know and to something that was totally unknown to her. And they were there to give her that peace and that comfort and that knowledge that she had in this life that was helping her transition into the next life.
That's such a sweet picture. And I know I've had that in my own family as well, when people pass and, you know, they're seeing something that we can't see.
Yes.
Loved ones, or whether it's loved ones or, you know, angelic entities. Every time I think about the word angel, ever since I was a little girl, it has given me comfort. And I think part of that is because my grandmother had a painting on the wall, and I believe our producer has this in the imagery for tonight and that we're going to share on social media. But it's a pretty popular painting, and it shows these children walking across a bridge.
Yes.
And a guardian angel is there with them, watching over them. And so that was kind of the earliest memory I have of hearing about an angel or knowing what an angel is. And so every time I would think about angels, you know, that's kind of what I thought about, and it gave me a comfort and a calmness. And then as I was reading the Bible and other books, yes, that's the picture right there. She had a big picture hanging on one of her bedroom walls, and I just loved that picture. And then I started, you know, as I grew older, started reading the Bible, reading other things, and learning about these strong warrior angels. And my daughter knows I love superheroes, and so that.
I love the way she just rolled her eyes. And she didn't even hide it.
She didn't even hide it. I know.
But I love superheroes too. I'm Marvel, DC all the way.
Yeah. So I pictured them as, you know, something different as I grew older, more of a, you know, take care of business kind of superhero entity. But all of the things that we've discussed here tonight have been so interesting. And I think a lot of it has been things that probably our listeners don't think about. We don't think about on an everyday basis. But I wanted to ask Ryan and Lindsay if they have any other questions that maybe have come to mind since we've been talking before we, you know, say goodbye to Travis and our listeners. I want to make sure that you guys don't have anything else.
Say goodbye to Travis. You make it sound like he's never coming back again. Like, you know something that I don't know.
No, I mean for tonight.
Like, I need to know, Rhonda.
Not at all. Just for tonight.
I do. I was going to ask, like, out of all of your research on this topic, what is the most interesting piece of information or story that you've come across?
Oh, wow. I think when it comes to angels, as we're talking about tonight, one of the most interesting things to me is their prevalence in other cultures. This whole winged entity that they're there, that they're and they're always messengers. I mean, even in Mesoamerica, when you look at the Aztecs and the Mayans, they had Quetzalcoatl, who was the winged serpent who brought knowledge. There's this. It permeates every culture, every religion across the globe. They're there, and that again is one of those things from a faith standpoint, but also from an objective standpoint. It makes me go, there has to be something. There has to be a reason that these images continue to pop up in culture after culture after culture across the globe. Another thing that I find extremely interesting, especially at this time of year, as Rhonda pointed out, It seems to be the one time of year we can talk about angels and nobody gets offended because they're everywhere. They're on trees, they're on cards, they're in movies. It's a Wonderful Life, one of my favorite. One of my favorites about an angel that not too many people know is The Bishop's Wife with Cary Grant and David Niven. It was remade back in the 90s as The Preacher's Wife with Denzel Washington and Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. Not nearly as good as The Bishop's Wife, one of my favorite movies. Angel comes down to help this bishop who is struggling with his marriage, but he's also trying to build a cathedral. And the angel, Dudley, helps him figure out what it is he wants most in life. It's a Wonderful Life. You have Clarence, the angel that helps George Bailey understand that his life is worth living after all. And angels appear in movies all the time. Michael with John Travolta. You have the movie Legion, which deals with Michael and Gabriel and Lucifer. You have the movie Here Comes Mr. Jordan with Claude Rains back in the 1940s. It's funny the way that angels get to permeate. Angels in the Outfield, movie about, you know, the baseball team, this kid that saw angels, and if he saw angels, then the team was going to win. And it's really interesting the way that we fold angels into our pop culture, and it's acceptable at certain times. Otherwise, it would just be taboo. Can't talk about them. But angels seem to be something that we get to talk about because it does cross those barriers and it does cross those cultures and religions.
Awesome. Ron, did you have anything else?
Yeah, I do have a question. You know, since we're talking about perspective and, you know, perception of what angels, and most of them, you know, are like you said, you know, the babies with the wings, the nice person, the halos, the whole nine yards. We also touched on like archangels and warrior angels. Is there a different set of guidelines for those? Because those are supposed to be the most powerful, vicious type angels because they're actually fighting the battle. Is there like, you know, I'm not a nice guy, you know, there's no mercy. It's just you get what you get.
I think there's nothing in the scriptures and in accepted scriptures that would say that. But I think by perspective and by perception that, yes, we have to say that those are angels that, you know, they're kind of the Dirty Harry of the angel world. They, you know, they're there to get something done and to make sure. I mean, they're like the ultimate guardian angel. They're there to fight the battle. That's what they're there for. It is blood, guts, you know, all of that is on the table when it comes to the archangels, because that's what they do. They fight. They're fighters. I mean, like I said, you know, you know a Marine, you know a special forces, you know a Green Beret, you know those individuals. That's what they do. That's what they're trained. You came out. You said Department of Corrections.
Yes, I served in the units, the Army, and I was also part of the Department of Corrections. I was in two Supermax. I wasn't in, but I was a correctional officer.
You were in two Supermax prisons. Yeah. That's awesome.
I was a correctional officer in two Supermax prisons where I was on the strike force. We had to kind of go in and take care of some things. So I understand.
What state?
Virginia. I was actually at Powhatan Correctional, and I was also did a stint at Red Onion.
You know one of my uncles, I bet. Richard Fleming?
Yes.
It's a small world.
Because that the analogy I was going to draw is using my uncle. My uncle Richard got drafted, went into the military, came out of the military. He was an MP when he was in the military. Came out of the military, became town police. Left town police, became a deputy sheriff. Went from deputy sheriff to criminal investigator. Left criminal investigator, went to the Department of Corrections, trained to be a prison guard, was a prison guard, became such a good prison guard, they put him in charge of training prison guards. Then he went to Red Onion as second in command to the warden, and then he retired from there and became a U.S. Marshal. The only thing that man has known is military and law enforcement. That's it. Hmm. Sweetest man you'll ever meet. Unless you get him telling stories about the things that he had to deal with when he was in law enforcement.
Oh, I imagine.
Because that's what he knows. To me, my Uncle Richard is like the human version of an archangel. That's what he's known from the age of 18. That's what he has done his entire adult life, is law enforcement and military and protection and training and all of that. And so it's one of those things that when we start talking about the archangels, that's what they do. It's ingrained in their spiritual DNA.
Yeah, that's good stuff. It's been a really learning experience. This has been intriguing.
I've enjoyed it. I hope you guys have.
So. Yes, definitely. Like you said,
hey, you know, I wouldn't rather spend my Monday any other way.
And now I want to go and do some more digging, you know, into some of this.
It's fascinating because, that's what I say about the paranormal and the supernatural. You know, we're never going to understand it. We're never going to say this is the answer. It's that journey. It's learning all that we can. And the more you learn and the more you dig, then you start finding all of these other avenues that you can go down, and you start understanding they're really, at the end of the day, like Lindsay had mentioned at the beginning, you know, these deities from other cultures, the Greeks and the Romans and the Egyptians, the beliefs aren't really all that different. It's just been the way that the stories have been told. It's the perspective that we look at them through and the lens that we put on when we're looking at them. So I have had a blast tonight. Thank you guys. This is actually more fun than the Mothman.
Yeah. I tell you, I loved that episode, but I've also really enjoyed this, and we just appreciate you sharing your time and knowledge with us again tonight. And
my pleasure. And please, Ryan and Lindsay, find me on Facebook, add me. Would love to be able to stay in touch with you guys and for the listeners as well. I'm like the easiest person to find on social media. I'm like everywhere. So.
Yes, and talking about social media, listeners, be sure to give us some likes and love on Facebook and YouTube and Instagram at Sirens of the Supernatural, and we're on TikTok at Supernatural Sirens. This week we'll be putting up some things on our socials that relate to this episode, some angel images and things like that, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Tune in next week when we do our last episode before Christmas, which will be about Krampus and Santa folklore. So
I love Krampus.
So we're looking forward to that. And listeners, if you have any stories of your own about angels or about supernatural entities or any experiences that you've had, please email us at sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. And on that note, I will say good night, and we will say our parting words. Stay spooky. Good night, everybody.
I also want to say just thank you guys, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas to everyone. This will be the last time I see you before the 2024. And may 2024 be an amazing year for everybody.
And for you as well. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
See y'all next time.
Do all naughty children get coal for Christmas? According to folklore, some get much worse. But don't be scared. Join us for a special holiday episode on Friday, December 22nd, where you'll get a lighthearted take on Krampus and other legendary figures associated with Christmas. Don't you dare miss it. The Sirens of the Supernatural podcast can be found on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, and all other major podcast platforms. Join us each week for more spookiness. Also, please join us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Sirens of the Supernatural, and on TikTok at Supernatural Sirens. Do you have a spooky story that you would like to share? Email them to us at sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. Until next time, stay spooky.